So Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it, for the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Amen. Obviously, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This last chapter is basically four sets of teachings, which will basically be his concluding remarks regarding this whole new way of living, new way of looking at life, new way of looking at God. I mean, you could say so many things about this. And so this is the primary four blocks. The first one, stop judging others. Okay, stop judging others. I forgot to mention yesterday in my sermon, another clear sign that you may be dealing with spiritual pride and self-righteousness and all these things is when you hear the message, you immediately start thinking it's for somebody else. You hear it and you think like, P. Sam must be talking about, you know, or this is... That's a clear sign that you're dealing with something, because a person that doesn't have it usually is asking the Lord, is it me, God, you know, and I need to repent. And so you can see how this goes. And it goes to this stop judging. So stop judging others. Be persistent in prayer. All right, be persistent in prayer. Be watchful, because the end is near. And the last one, understand that his words are the foundation of life. Okay, so let's just go through each one of these real quickly. Stop judging others. In a cultural and religious context that Jesus is living in, that the time that he's in right now, everyone is constantly judging each other. And, I mean, you know, people close to you, you're constant, because a lot of it is about outward appearance, as we've been going through. And so people listening to his teaching on this, they would have been so relieved, Right? They would have been so refreshed in many ways because all they're getting is they're being judged for this, they're being judged for that. The religious leaders are looking down upon them for even the minutest detail of the law. And so they must feel so refreshed. And this is the principle. Our refusal to judge others will free us from judgment. That's what he's saying. Our refusal to judge others will free us from judgment. A judgmental attitude inevitably leads to a harshness of heart. It just goes hand in hand together. And the result of that is the person is unable to receive forgiveness. We see this in Luke 7. Remember the Pharisee? And the woman comes in and you know, breaks the alabaster jar and, you know, and all these things happen. And the Pharisee is so offended by her act of repentance. And he's so judgmental. And so forgiveness is just not really in the cards in any way. And so he's just telling us, be careful of judging, because when you judge others, you are also judged. And so he says here, now, let's make a clear distinction, okay? In and of itself, we as people, we will judge other people. Like, we'll make judgment, I'll use that word instead. And this is normal. We have to do that. That's how we live our life. You work in business, and you have a client, and you guys run a deal, and he rips you off, right? You need to have good, sound judgment, right? You know, you can't say, oh, let's not judge his actions, right? No, there is judgment. What Jesus is really dealing with is hypocrisy, right? You know, in other words, you know, when we have sound judgment, we have to be very careful that we're not being hypocrites, and kind of what I talked about yesterday in that way. And so we need to be very aware that, you know, you can see that you'll still be able to see the speck in the other person's eye, but the issue is you're blind to the plank that is your own eye. And so you're blind, right, to your own blindness in that way. And then he finishes off, and it's interesting, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. And it seemed like this is a very odd approach. So did a little research, finds out that this actually, Jesus is saying this. This is based on a very popular story during that time. And, you know, dogs and pigs were obviously considered unclean, especially in this context, in this cultural setting. They're scavengers, and many times they devour corpses. That's kind of what they do. The image that he uses here is actually based on a popular story during the time of Christ. And what ends up happening is this farmer, basically, the pig started attacking him, and the farmer ended up throwing his pearls. I mean, real pearls, right? So it's not like a figurative, it means something else that we can draw all kinds of meanings. He threw his seed pearls, and his seed pearls are pearls that are misshapen. You know, they're not perfectly round, and they look like seeds to basically fool the pig, but it didn't work, basically, and he ended up getting attacked. In this way. And so he's relaying a story that was popular during that time. And so I know we try to get a lot of meaning out of this. There may not be as much meaning as we think it is. It's purely written in the context for these people in this way, right? And so, you know, you've heard, oh, do not throw your pearls to swine. In other words, don't give people, you know, like your wisdom and those things. I don't necessarily know if that's what it means, right? I mean, I just say that off the top. It could, but I don't know if that's actually the context of this story. So, and then he moves on to the part of prayer. And this is a very important teaching on prayer, some of the most simplest teachings, actually. And the main message of prayer, and you'll see this pretty consistently in Jesus' teachings on prayer, which is primarily do it often, right? Do it a lot and be persistent. This seems to be a pretty common thread that happens. You know, do it frequently, and when you do it, and be persistent, like don't give up. And we don't give up not as a sign of our persistence or a sign of our own abilities, but because you're praying to a faithful God who wants to hear your prayers. That's basically the whole approach that he talks about prayer. And so I'm sure you've heard me teach on this before, but in Greek, a lot of things, I know that meaning of words is really important, you know, but really sentence structure is, in other words, to get the actual meaning of it is probably more important. And the way that this passage is structured is what we call a present tense imperative. In other words, this is a present tense, meaning it's an ongoing action. And it's an imperative, meaning it's a command. So he's not suggesting it to us. He's commanding us. And he says here, and so probably the better translation is, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Thus, remember the whole idea of persistence. This is an ongoing action that is constantly happening. So don't just ask once. You know, we ask, well, I didn't get it. Okay, I'm just going to give up. No, he says, you keep asking, you keep seeking, and you keep knocking. And this is the beauty of the way that Jesus organizes this. So ask. So when do we ask? We ask when we don't know what God's will is. You don't know God's will on a matter, right? You ask when you know it's God's will. You know it's God's will. This is what God says. You ask and you receive. Simple, okay? You keep asking, you receive. You don't know what God's will is on a matter. Lord, you know, should I move to Singapore? Should I stay in Hong Kong? You know, or should I change jobs? We don't know. And so that's when you seek. You keep seeking, and he says, and you will find. So you ask, you know God's will, ask and receive. You don't know God's will, you seek and you find. You find out what God's will is. You know what God's will is, then you get to asking. You see how this works? And then this is the last one deals with persistence, right? This is the knocking, and you keep knocking. And this is probably where most of us, when we talk about our prayer life, this is probably where most of us live in this space. And this is simply this, you know it's God's will, but it's not happening yet. You know this is the will of the Lord. You know this is the will of the Lord that you're supposed to be married. You know this is the will of the Lord that you should be, you know, in this occupation or whatever the case may be. You know this is the will of the Lord. You know it's the will of the Lord that your dad is to be saved. This is just the word of God. But you know it's God's will, but it's still not happening. That's when it goes into the keep knocking. You keep being persistent at it. And this is kind of how it goes. And then Jesus uses probably the most pronounced of rabbinical teaching methods, and he uses what's basically known as people call it different ways, but the Cal Homer argument. And this is basically an argument from minor to major. And when you hear this, like, we'll get to this. Verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should your Father give to those who ask? So it's the minor, we're the minor, right? You're evil, you know how to give. How much more? Whenever you hear that phrase, how much more, that's the rabbinical argument of Cal Homer. That's basically what it comes down to. It's interesting, this was developed by one of the most premier rabbis who's actually still respected to this day. His name is Hillel the Great. And Hillel the Great, probably, he died at about AD 10. And so most scholars believe that, remember when Jesus was in the temple? Remember they went on their pilgrimage and they went in, and then remember the parents left Jesus, and then they came back after a few days journey and they realized, oh my goodness, where's our son? And they came back in and he was talking to the scribes and the scholars, remember, inside the temple. Most scholars believe he was talking to Hillel, right? And I think Hillel was quite amazed, you know, at this little boy Jesus and his teaching and his abilities, you know, and these type of things. And he developed basically seven rules of interpretation. to interpret. And the first rule was the Homer. This was the first interpretive rule that goes to it. And then it really makes sense because he's appealing to that. By the way, a lot of teachings that we see Jesus teaching, actually, you can find direct connections to Hillel the Great. In fact, almost if you go through a survey of the teachings of Christ, you can see traces of Hillel all over the place. The only place where there's a divergence from Hillel is actually on the issue of divorce. And so Hillel just believed you could just give a certificate. But everything else that it seemed to fall in line. Now, Hillel had a student of his. And just to kind of understand the background, his student, his name was Shammai. And Shammai was brilliant. But Shammai, because Hillel, he was gracious. You know, just his teaching had so much humility. His student Shammai actually wasn't the same case. And so when Jesus, when he comes, and basically the mood of the religious circles is totally under the influence of Shammai. It's very to the minute detail. It's very harsh in these things. And so a lot of times when Jesus is teaching, even some of Hillel's stuff, he's making a commentary about, hey, let's go back. You know, let's go back to, you know, to when the teaching was gracious. You know, let's go back to this time. And then you see this. And so he continues off. He talks about this, and then he gets to the golden rule. We've heard the golden rule. He says in verse 12, there are however you want people to treat you, treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is, again, a direct connection to Hillel. I'll read you this little story. He was asked one day to sum up the law and the prophets. And this is how Hillel responded. He says, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. And he said, that is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Now, the fact that Matthew recognized such a sophisticated connection showed his expertise in the law. I mean, just the fact that he's able to just take that little nuance and recognize, he's like, wow, this Matthew, this is a pretty smart dude, right? And so we see this happening here, the golden rule. And then we get to the ways contrasted, the narrow gate, the narrow road, and so on and so forth. And you have to remember, Matthew's first listeners were being extremely, extremely pressured by the majority. They were being hit by the Romans, a persecution, and they were being hit by the Jews. It was coming in all different directions. And the idea of the wide gate and the broad path and the narrow gate and the narrow path, it seems very, very appropriate because these guys are having to choose the narrow path, having to choose the difficult road. It would have been very easy to acquiesce just to the religious leaders of their time. But no, this is a new way, a new thing that God was doing in this part. You know, and part of keeping on the narrow road is to be careful of false prophets. There are false teachers that are out there. The key, and Jesus saying, the key to discern, you know, about false prophets is their fruit. What is their fruit? It's just so simple. What is their fruit? A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. It's just a simple reality. And he's saying, you know, part of this narrow road, there are going to be a lot of different things that come and deceive you. Be wary of that. Be aware of that. You know, and then if you need help discerning, just look at the fruit. See what happens as a result. I mean, look at the way this guy treats his wife. You know, I mean, just look at the way he treats his, you know, his kids. Look at the way that he treats taxi drivers. You know, I mean, just look at the fruit of their life. And it's just a simple way. Now, it's interesting, right? Look what Jesus is saying. He says, you'll know them by their fruit. But at the beginning, he told us, don't judge people. So maybe when he says judgment, it means something a little different than we think it does, right? You guys see the connection there? And so he says, you know, be careful of the fruit. It's not the outward appearance that matters, right? But the fruit that they produce. It's amazing, this theme that's all throughout. And then Jesus begins to tell his listeners, listen, you know, don't get so bent out of shape about all these things that happen. Everything is going to be set in order because there's a day of judgment that's coming. And in this day of judgment, all those that have the outward appearance, they're going to hell. You don't have to worry about that, right? All those people, right, and, you know, they say one thing and their hearts are somewhere else, they're all going to hell, right? Even people that call him Lord and do miracles, again, outward appearance, right, they're going to be revealed as false prophets. And so, you know, if they get away with stuff in this life, don't worry. They won't get away at the day of judgment. And so he concludes and he says, a wise builder, you know, builds on the firm foundation of Jesus' words. Like all this teaching that's laid out, he's saying, look, this is the foundation. The foolish will listen to these words, but will not do them, will not integrate them into their life. And so they're building without a foundation. This will be the identity of those that are in this new kingdom of God. They're the ones who do not judge in a world that's founded on judging. They're the ones who will pray like childlike confidence in simplicity, just simply trusting the Father. They're the ones who will follow the narrow path of the minority. They're also the ones that will make Jesus' words the ultimate foundation of their lives. So Jesus ends this first part of this teaching, and it says, that's the result, the people were amazed. And they said, wow, this teaching is different. There's something different about this, right? He doesn't just say these words. There's authority in what he's saying. All right, there's authority there. That's God-given authority. So let's close our eyes. Let's go back, since this is primarily a prayer meeting, let's go back to those teachings on prayer. Ask, you know God's will, it be given to you. Seek, you don't know God's will, seek His will. And you will find. And knock. I know, like I said, most of us live in this space. We're knocking. We know it's God's will, but it doesn't seem to be happening. I mean, we pray every morning for a whole group of people that we know they should be healed. But the key is persistence. And persistence, not because of our abilities, but persistence because we're praying to a loving Father. We may not understand all the different nuances and things that happen, but we also know that there is spiritual warfare. You know, whenever I think about that, I'm always reminded of Daniel, particularly chapter 10, when he does his 21-day fast. And remember, the word of the Lord says, and when the angel comes, he says, from the moment that you started praying, in other words, the first day that you prayed on this matter, Gabriel says, I was sent to you, I was dispatched from heaven. But then the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece came, and the prayer was delayed for whatever reason. It just reminds me, there's a warfare. There's a whole element that I just don't understand or know. But I'm always encouraged by what Gabriel said. From the first moment you open your mouth, God heard. There's other elements at work. There's a warfare going on. There's a character forming that's happening within us. There's a persistence that is creating. But from the moment you spoke that word, your Father heard. Let the Holy Spirit encourage you this morning. Let the Spirit encourage you to keep praying, to continue to be persistent before the Lord.
Savior, I surrender.
let's pray. Let's just keep asking. Let's keep seeking. Let's keep knocking. Remember, we're praying to a Father who is faithful. A Father who wants to give good gifts to His children. Remember, we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give to those who ask? Let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for those who are battling through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through COVID. Let's pray for God's healing over them and their family, their kids. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers. And let's ask God's protection over them. Let's pray for strength and endurance. And let's just continue to pray for the nurse shortage in Hong Kong. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Singapore, Indonesia, and the Philippines. And let's lift up our churches. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim, church there with all the leaders, and ask God would continue to empower them. Let's pray for Pastor Salomon and his family. Let's pray for Spin. Let's pray for Pastor Ernie and his family and the ministry. Spill, let's ask God's hand to be with us. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's lift up an intercessory prayer team, the well and the river. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers. Let's pray that God would really empower them to pray God's purposes and release God's healing word throughout our community. Pray for our local outreach ministries, and let's ask God's hand to be with our leaders, pray with our volunteers. Let's pray that every time they would go out, as they would engage, that there would be an empowering authority on them. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. Let's continue to pray for a benefactor. You know, this is just a response to a word we got from Cindy Jacobs. Let's just continue to pray for the Vision Fund. Let's lift up the pregnant ladies in our house. Let's pray for God's protection over them, protection over the womb, the baby. Let's pray that this would be a really joyful time as a family. Let's go to our member focus and let's pray for Sin Miao. Let's just pray for a pure heart. Right? This is a simple request today. Let's pray for a pure heart before the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray for Howard. Let's pray that he'd have a breakthrough this year with God, to have a sound mind and clarity for God's purpose, and to be fully healed and restored from TB. Let's lift up our brother. Let's pray for grace, let's pray for wisdom, and family to be a blessing to the church and work. Let's pray your family will follow God fully at every moment, and brother have a healthy baby, and parents for strength. Let's lift up grace in our family. Pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are praying, and when we do pray, we are praying to a faithful Father, a Father who cares for His children. Lord, we don't have to twist your arm, God. We don't have to bribe you. Lord, we don't have to bargain with you, God. Lord, you want, Lord, to answer prayers, God. Lord, and so we just, when we pray, help us to pray with a confidence, Lord, that we're not battling you in our prayers, God. We're battling the enemy. Lord, give us that heavenly perspective, Lord. God, thank you. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you that you are so faithful, God. Lord, even when we're faithless, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. And so we thank you. We love you, God. Watch over us today, God, as we seek your face. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. All right, and we'll see you tomorrow.